Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. By Bhagwan's grace, today we have again with us Professor Venkatraman. He's been there the last so many sessions, and it's really Bhagwan's benediction that he's continuing to be with us as we discuss Prema Vahini, the first book that Bhagwan had painstakingly written many decades ago. So we are in the 16th chapter. In the previous session of Prema Vahini, we discussed the first two segments of chapter 16. Today we move on to the third segment of chapter 16. So let me play that for you, and then we will wait for Professor Venkatraman to share his thoughts and insights.
మంచి సంస్కారము వైపు మనస్సు మరల్చవలెను. వారి వారి దోషములను వారు గుర్తించినంతనే దిద్దుకొనుటకు ప్రయత్నించవలెను. తన తప్పు తనకు తెలియగానే పునర్జన్మ కలిగినట్లే అది మానవుని జీవితమునకు నూతన బాల్యావస్థ. ఇదియే మానవునకు నిజమైన మేలుకొలుపు. మృత్యువు ఎల్లప్పుడూ జీవిని అంటియేయున్నది. మృత్యువు అను శబ్దము వినగానే మానవుడు సహించడు. ఎంత వెర్రి! ఎట్టివైనా శుభకార్యములు జరుగుతున్నప్పుడు మృత్యువు అన్న శబ్దము విన్న అశుభమని అనుచున్నారు. కాని ఎంత అశుభమనుకున్ననూ జీవివేయు ప్రతి అడుగును మృత్యువైపునకే పడుచున్నది కదా. మానవుడు ఏ ఊరైనా ప్రయాణమై టికెట్టుకుని ఆ రైలులో ఊరక కూర్చున్ననూ పడుకున్ననూ ఆ రైలు ఎట్లు తాను చేరవలసిన ప్రదేశమునకు చేర్చునో అట్లే జీవుడు పుట్టుకతోనే మృత్యువును ఊరికి టికెట్టు తీసుకున్నాడు. మీరెన్ని ప్రయత్నాలు చేసినను, ఎంత జాగరూకతతో ఉండినను ఏనాటికైనా రాక తప్పదు కదా. ఏది నిశ్చయము కాకపోయినా మృత్యువు మాత్రం నిశ్చయం. దానిని మరచుటకు ప్రయత్నింప వీలేదు.
The mind has to be turned towards good samskaras. Everyone must examine themselves rigorously, spot out their defects and struggle to correct them. When man realizes his own defects and uncovers them, it is like being reborn. He begins his life anew with a new childhood. This is the genuine moment of awakening for every man. Life is eternally stalked by death, but yet man does not tolerate the very mention of the word death. It is deemed inauspicious to hear that word, though, however insufferable the word, every living thing is every moment proceeding nearer and nearer that event. Intent on a journey and having purchased a ticket for the same, if you enter a train, whether you sit quiet or lie low or read or meditate, the train takes you willy-nilly to the destination. So too, each living thing has at birth received a ticket to death and has come on a journey. So whatever may be your struggles, safeguards and precautions, the destination has to be reached someday. Anything else may be uncertain, but death is certain. It is impossible to change this.
So that is the third segment of chapter 16. And in fact, as I was listening to what Bhagwan has written, I was reminded of the Yaksha Prashna from the Mahabharata. In fact, Professor Venkatraman also, I remember, sir, once you mentioning that how this is a very, very significant conversation which Yudhishthira had. For many people, in fact, they say the essence of Indian culture is there in this conversation. Many people think it is a very profound part of the Mahabharata story. And in fact, the questions that Yaksha asks, some of them are really so interesting. And the way Yudhishthira answers, when he asks what is heavier than earth, and he says mother is heavier than earth, what is taller than sky, father is taller than sky, what is faster than wind, mind is faster than wind. And you have such profound question and answer session there. Who is the friend of the one who is going to die? Charity is the only friend of such a person, and so on. But there is one question there, what Yaksha asks: what is the most surprising thing in the world? And there, Yudhishthira says that every day, numerous living entities are dying and going to the abode of Yama, yet everyone believes that they are going to live forever. What can be more surprising and intriguing than this? Like, this is what I got reminded of when I heard what Bhagwan has written. Sir, maybe you should share with us, why is it that it becomes such a delusory phenomenon in this world, what Yudhishthira mentions? Why is it such a surprise thing for us? And how to overcome this?
Sir Raman, thanks for pulling me in. Am I loud enough?
Yeah, sure, sir.
Okay. A deaf man thinks other people are deaf when he shouts. He had people like that. Interestingly, in the sheet that he gave, I have put except Prakshapa. And he said mind travels faster than everything else.
Yes.
I don't know about that. I cannot say anything definitive. It probably is true. But I know what Mark Twain said. He says, by the time truth puts on his shoes, rumor has traveled round the world.
Round the world three times.
Three times, okay. That is... Now, in fact, the climax of the Yaksha Pariksha is very interesting.
Yes, sir.
Just to recap, all the five, out of the five brothers, four are dead.
Yes.
So, he says... Dharmaraja says, I will allow you to make one choice and that fellow will come alive.
Yes. You can bring only one person back to life.
Then he, you know, this fellow had, what's his name?
Yudhishthira.
Nakula.
Yes.
This man, Pandu, had two wives.
Correct.
Kunti and Madhuri.
Madhuri, yes.
And he says, I want Madhuri's son.
Yes.
This fellow says, how come you asked him?
Yes.
He says, my father had two wives.
Yes.
I am the son of one wife.
Yes.
So the other wife, son also must have a share, otherwise he'll be very greedy.
And instead of asking for Arjuna or Bhima.
No. See, that is where that Dharmaraja and Dharmaputra resonance is.
Yes.
Dharma as the abstract.
Anybody in that position would have asked for Arjuna or
Bhima. That is the whole point. And that is the glory of our scriptures and all that. So now, I am going to use the power of the mic which you handed to me to make a few comments. Basically, this revolves around the sentence which you discussed in the previous episode recording.
Yes.
Live avoiding evil deeds, hateful and harmful thoughts, and do not get attached to the world. If you live thus, your last moment will be pure, sweet and blessed.
Yes.
This, what you have said is sort of some extension of that.
Yes.
Now, one day, many years ago, when Swami was speaking in Trayi, I was there. In some context, he simply said, from God you have come, and to God you must return. Roadmap. All the details were not given, but that's it. The roadmap was probably explained in the talks Swami gave to students. Now, since God is love and love is prema, officially, the love is some corrupted colloquial version, I will say, from prema you have come and to prema you must return. So, by what is called analytical extension in mathematics, simply put, prema vahini is nothing but prema yoga. That is the way I see it. Because I have to justify the title. If I don't do that, I am not a good lawyer, spokesman for Swami. So this is prema vahini. This is prema yoga. Now, going back to the Gita, and you cannot stop me from doing that. In the 8th chapter, the Lord explains to Arjuna that he was a combination of three aspects of creation. The first was Adibhautika, which means from the mud and earth, that is, from inert matter comes the body. Then Adidaivika, that is essentially pranashakti. The devas control it. In a minor aspect, don't ask me which deva and all that. There have been many mappings. Basically, there is in creation a thing called a gross matter, subtle force, which manifests as life, which manifests as mental energy, and so on. It's a one-word answer, the compaction, adhyatmika. So, three entities come together to make a human being. We are not talking about an animal.
Adi bhautika, adi daivika, adhyatmika.
That's the thing. And then Krishna goes on to explain all these things. I mention this because the same thing has been said by Swami. And he said, instead of gross matter, that is adi bhautika, he called it body. Instead of adi daivika, he called it mind. And adhyatmika, he said atma. That is one thing. So, Swami said, everybody is an MBA.
Mind, body, atma.
Now, if you take the three alphabets, M, B and A, there are many ways in which you can put them.
Yes.
1, 2, 3. That is simple permutation, yes. Algebra. But of that, only three are relevant to spirituality. That is, there is first slot, second slot, third slot. I can put anything in the first slot, anything in the second slot, anything in the third slot, and so on. But three hierarchies alone are relevant for spirituality. The first is BME. Body first, mind next, atma last. Next is mind first, body next, and atma last. Atma is sort of given a very low, you are a coffee boy, go and get me some coffee. Okay. And the third, it is AMB. Why are these unique and important? BMA is a characterization of tamoguna. And the lakshanas of the fellow with the tamoguna have been discussed by Krishna in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He mentions it along the line, but this 17th chapter is a summary of the three gunas and the characters. It's a very interesting read. The next is MBA. That fellow is Rajasi. He is very ambitious, aggressive, corporate takeover, things like that. And AMB, that is a sattva guna. Now, many people think sattva guna is just the end of the story. So, no, sattva guna means you have to got into the plane has to take off. And people ask, why is it? He says, all gunas bind. They create some kind of an attachment.
You would say golden chain.
No. First is iron chain. Then copper.
Yes.
Then golden chain.
Yes.
Mm. And I said, what's going on? But then it became very clear. The man is good, but he has self-interest. Mm-hmm. Because they come from attachment. He says, when I die, I must go to heaven.
When he get attached to goodness.
No, that's not a goodness. There is no question of goodness and all that when you go back to God. God is beyond goodness and badness.
Mm.
Badness is a bad word, but it's all right. I can take that.
Yes. You have to go above all that.
You see, that is the word of non-dual.
Correct.
The world, whatever you do, there is a duality.
Yes.
And the duality that is of interest to us is right and wrong, justice and injustice.
Yes.
And so on. Fairness. Dharma, dharma, and so on. You are compelled to be in the dual world because the dual world is a realization of the absolute. That is the world of the non-dual world. We don't understand it because we have no experience of it. But what Swami says is, through Prema Yoga you can sort of understand it. And when you die, the body goes off, the mind dissolves and you are liberated. That's the whole point about this. Okay. But for example, attachment of a sattvic person, he says, my son should get a good job. You can't say that is an evil thing or something, which is a very reasonable thing. My daughter should get married in a family, good family. That's a very natural aspiration. But the bond from the gunas must go. Gunas come via prakriti. And I come in a different channel. I can't discuss it today. And this is the place where you have to act and get liberated. So, what is the meaning of going above the gunas? I am above, beyond the gunas. I am a guna atita.
Yes.
Then at that time, it doesn't matter whether my son gets a job or not, whether my daughter gets married or not, I couldn't care less. Okay, this is the way it happens. I cannot try and shed tears in this world. Because in the 9th chapter, Krishna says, anityam asukam lokam. Whatever you do, you cannot avoid this. The only way to avoid is switch your mind off. That's all. And that is under your control. But you can make that easy by seeking my companies. Yes. Satsangatve.
Yes.
I am the provider of satsang. Now, that's a pretty hard thing to do. By the way, since I have been talking about Bhagavad Gita, on one occasion, somebody asked Swami, very genuinely, Swami, Bhagavad Gita takes about 2 hours to chant.
Hmm.
Do you mean to say all the fellows are standing there like zombies waiting for the war to start? This is a valid question, practical question. Swami smiled and said, see, Krishna said it in 5 minutes.
Okay.
That's all. Because there was a lot of Yudhishthira coming and doing yes. Namaskar and all those things. It was all over. Vyasa expanded it. And it is very interesting, the Vishnu Sahasranam says, Vyasaya Vishnu Rupaya, Vishnu Rupaya Vyasa. Vyasaya Vishnu Rupaya, then Vishnu Rupaya Vyasa, something. Yes. I forget that. I used to remember
Vyasavet.
So, it is he who, what you call, fleshed it out and gave it to us. And that is very useful for us because otherwise it will look like a tweet. Okay. So, maybe today Donald Trump will tweet everything.
So basically,
but
Krishna
doesn't know Sanskrit. So.
Krishna tweeted it, but Vyasa wrote an essay later on.
So,
post.
If you look at it from a, what I call a scholarly perspective, the thing is, you are caught up in this world, you will have all kinds of attachments. Fellow runs for election, I'm going to run, I'm going to clean up the mess. Your grandfather cannot clean up the mess. There will be mess. So, but that is part of this. The difficulty is, living in this mess, how do you act in a detached manner and follow this? That can be done only if you are able to make a lot of sacrifice. And the sacrifice is the bonds. You have to tear the bonds. And is there such a person? That was Janaka, in a certain way. So, that is, today if you go and tell people all these things, they have no interest in it. They don't believe in it also. So, our challenge really is, instead of just pontificating, is there any way of taking this message in a compulsive way? That in an effective way that will compel the attention of the listener or viewer or reader, whichever it may be, to pay some thought to it.
Right.
That is the communication skill we need in order to do our dharma via programs like this. That requires a lot of reading.
Very interesting comments about gunas and guna tita, etc. So basically, I think what sir was saying is that unless you actually transcend the gunas, you are not having the ultimate death. Possibly it's one of those deaths.
See, that's a good thing. You see, we say man dies, man is born. Swami says he is not died. He is just wearing a new dress. Death is a dress of life and all that. So we think in a certain narrow interpretation. He says, no, it's like you're getting tomorrow you wear a different shirt and this and that. Of course, at the operational level, it is childhood, kaumaram, yavanam, and so on and so forth. But in no other spiritual philosophy have all these been compacted in this way. They had a sort of God whom they all struggled to explore, discuss. For example, in the Old Testament, God is a mean accountant. It's a big stick. He's going around to beat you and all that. So that is one of the reasons many of the Jews were turned atheists. And as far as the Christians are concerned, God is like that. But in the New Testament, God is Son of God is better. Dad is a horror, but Son is a danger. But these are all what you call our way of imagining a certain event or history or concept. Vedanta and the Bhagavad Gita, they form real basis for pondering about the world and its meaning. Sorry, you were saying something?
No, I was just reminded of how Bhagavan used to say that God is the divine photographer, and any time he can click, and you don't know when he's going to click, and you want your picture to be nice, so you have to be ready every moment. That's what Swami used to say. I mean, you should always live.
See,
like
we all quote that. Let us be frank.
Yes.
It is not possible to be ready and all that. That is the problem of life. You know, you deal with a real problem.
Yes. In fact,
supposing there is a big flood.
Yes.
And thousands of people. I mean, not flood. Well, it happened in Katrina. But what is more is in earthquakes. Thousands, 20,000, 80,000, 50,000 people died. That's not a small number.
Yes.
So, how do you deal with that crisis? With all the knowledge in the world, with the United Nations, even the United Nations went there, they didn't solve the problem. And what they did was they brought cholera from Nepal, and thousands of people have died because of cholera, and it spread everywhere. And when the people complained, they said, United Nations says, we are a sovereign body, you cannot sue us. Now they have at least admitted. So, how is it if you can go to the moon, you cannot solve this problem? It was clash of egos. That was the whole thing, ultimately. If you cannot do this simple earthquake where 50,000 people die, what are you going to do with nuclear weapons and all that? So, we just go inflate our egos and ego, swartham saprayojanam. You leave that, you are liberated. That's what Swami said. So we don't want to discuss that.
Recently, I was talking to a former student of Bhagwan's University. He is currently working in Australia in the Department of Agriculture for the Government of Australia. And he was sharing his story with me. I remember this story because how Swami has brought such a tremendous change in his perspective of life. Now, he lives every day as if it is the last day of his life because, you know, he was someone who was into stockbroking and I remember at one point in time, probably 7, 8, 9 years ago when I had met him, you know, at that point in time, what was really on the top of his mind was to make a huge resource, you know, to build a huge resource and be really a rich man. That was initially his goal in life. And then, and he did that for quite some time. And then suddenly there was the meltdown in 2009 and he incurred huge losses. And, you know, he had built this huge network of contacts and associates and he thought, you know, so many people will come and, you know, nothing is going to happen to him even though he had some monetary losses. But there was a time he saw that, oh my God.
Nobody turned up.
Yeah, I mean, he was finding it difficult to find a job. He couldn't believe that he was not getting a job. And that is the time, he says, I went to the altar of my home, which I had not visited for so many days and weeks and years. And he prostrated at Bhagwan's photo and he started crying and he said, Swami, I surrender. I surrender. And he says, I heard this very strong voice from within. Swami says, why? And he didn't understand, what is this why? And he said, Swami, I surrender everything at your feet. Swami said, why should I help you? And he says, yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I have not done anything for you, Swami. Really, I have not done anything. I was so busy in the world and, you know, so caught up. Swami said, you do my work, I will take care of you. And from then on, he starts to fully engage himself in the organization's activities. And it's a very fantastic story. We had a 2-hour long conversation. And after that, so many interesting things happened in his life. He got completely involved in the organization. He got a job and everything. And then in 2015, many things happened. And he had to move to Australia. And it was during this time that his wife also contracted cancer. And the drug that was needed to ensure that his wife lives on was available only in Australia at that point in time. And the way it happened, that he could get it free in Australia.
Okay.
Thanks to a Sai doctor and so many things that happened. To just cut the story short, I mean, if he was in India, he would not have been able to afford it. So now he's in Australia and he says, you know, this whole experience has changed the perspective of life so much. He says every day, he has a little daughter, perhaps second or third grade. But he says, no, I have no worries about the daughter. I mean, Swami will look after her. I mean, it's not that I have to look after or, you know, we have to look after the daughter. So he says, every day I live as if it is the last day of my life.
See, I'm afraid, I agree with this, this has happened to many people. But in a world with 7 billion, we have to look at what Swami says for this thing. You're talking of this. I'll talk about a man who had no problem, absolutely no problem. And he was from America, and his only goal in life was to become rich, enjoy fast cars, great food, and travel, excitement, and become rich and all that. He didn't have to go to God and pray.
Didn't feel the need of for God.
No, that is the case with millions of people. As Clinton said, government is an enemy till you need a friend. Because in America there is a lot of anti-government system because of that old federal system. So, this man, his parents lived in far away in a climate which was very congenial. It is not cold in winter and all that. So they have air conditioning. So there was a long weekend. He said he will take a plane. It is about 2,000 miles. So he just looked around. Is there any book I can read? And just one book he picked up. His parents were Swami's devotees. So it was one of those books. And on the plane, he read about Swami. When he got down at the destination, he decided to give up meat, he decided to give up drinking, he decided to change.
Amazing.
And then...
Are you talking about Dr. Voleti? Dr. Jivanandam.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I interviewed him in those days.
Yes.
It was Jivanandam. And he told me. So, that is, I would say... Swami said, the first chapter of the Gita is called Vishada Yoga. When you are in agony, then you ask, oh God, why have you abandoned me till that time? That's different. But this is a different way in which we can impact. But I would say that if you take the whole world, there are many people who risk their lives, they don't get one line of credit, especially Doctors Without Borders. And then the fellows who spontaneously rushed other people with earthquake aid and this and that at the time of terrorism. There is no selfishness.
And there are hundreds of groups like this.
What I am saying is, we can't live and reduce God to what you call small scale things. It is the destiny, as he says, of everyone to come back to me.
Yes.
But is there any way in which we can make at least a certain majority of people in a certain area think of me? That has its own multiplier value. For example, If in a community, people are very friendly and all that, there are no quarrels, there are no this thing, there is harmony. There is someone saying of Swami, where there is harmony, there is peace. Now we don't have that. It is not there within the family, it is not there within the organization. And in all these cases, we describe a happening, which is the consequence. But we are not looking at the root solution. Root solution is to get rid of detachment and so on. Today, with technology, your attachment is multiplied. Everybody has to have this, everybody has to have that, everybody. And now, in the name of speeding things and this and that, we are running headlong into everything is connected with the internet and all that. I see people in front of my house every day. These people don't have a phone. They cannot have. And most of the outside villages, there is no landline connectivity. You went to Bukkapatnam for that water project thing. How was the connectivity there? This place was a part of Bukkapatnam at one time.
Correct.
So, rural India is in great difficulty, and as if to make it worse, we have 1/3 of the districts in India are affected by insurgency.
Yes.
Out of 600 districts in India, and here we are comfortable and all that.
So what you're saying is that life is well lived if we...
No, the simple point is given by Swami in many of the Benedictine discourse. He says that, what have I done for society?
Right.
Have I turned my mind of anybody? Kennedy said it in your... Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. It is set up the Peace Corps, which is a positive outcome. You have these billionaires here, and you have all these cases recently. One villager goes and then he is given 15 lakh bill for 15 minutes. The patient is there. They loot like this. And in one way or the other, there's sort of the code of honesty was not the leading spirit of their lives. Everywhere there's a calculation. The only man who was cranky in his own ways, to be honest, I know of, was Mahatma Gandhi. He was the only idiot who practiced Bhagavad Gita on public. I apologize for Gandhi. No, but that was his nature. Once you are given your word, you should not change it. And the point is, he changed life in many places.
Yes, he inspired so many. Yes,
Martin Luther King and all that. He recorded a statement in India.
Yes,
that was not known. One day somewhere it was produced by All India Radio and all that, and he kept on saying that. And in the Salt Satyagraha, he did do that. He did do that. And he said, God is truth and my route to God is via Ahimsa. He has actually written that in that book you have seen.
Yes.
So, he really believed in it.
And he had a very good end, chanting Hey Ram.
That is the whole thing. You see, this Namasmaranam, he said it goes on automatically in my body.
Yes.
And as this is very last minute, if Krishna has said that and Gandhi did it,
yes.
Krishna himself has given the certificate, so to say.
Yes.
You are passed.
Yes.
A++.
Absolutely.
So, I have a feeling when we have these sessions, is there any suggestion we can give? I will give one simple suggestion which has nothing to do with fighting that man's ego and this man. I say, the earth is my mother, I will not ruin the earth. That is entirely under my control. Okay, I am not able to prevent others. But if I make 100 people do something, 500 people do something, at least it will spread.
Yes.
It will spread.
In fact,
One last thing. About 40 years ago, in America, there was a man called Surgeon General. And he said, Surgeon General has determined that smoking is dangerous to health.
Mm-hmm.
You will die of heart attack or lung cancer. And they took it seriously in America. And then their market dropped, so they had to go on the outside. Once in Calcutta, I'll stop after this. I went for a conference somewhere, and I met a German fellow. And he told me, he was a chain smoker. And his friend, a doctor, said, you should not do this. He kept, nothing will happen. So, everywhere, you know, nothing will happen. So that fellow said, tomorrow I'm doing an operation, you come with me. Okay, he didn't say what it was. He opened out, took out the lungs. It was black. Lung cancer. So he took it out. Do you want? Have you seen this? He frightened that fellow. He never went there. As Swami says, sin is like a cobra, drop it like a hot potato.
Yes.
Now they don't need to go to the doctor. It's right there printed on all the cigarette boxes.
No, there was a lot of this thing. And then they sued it in Australia. They put skull and this and that. And there is a big this thing case going on. Because they've changed all these laws previously. You cannot go to a court. You have to do it through arbitration. The Australian fellow says, I don't accept your World Trade Organization. This is this. So there is but what I am saying is, if I love God, why should I do this? I have just to ask, will Swami like this? End of story. Can we put that into the minds of people? If you really love God, and so Swami, I love you, go ahead and do this. You challenge that fellow, are you ready to be honest?
Absolutely.
So that is a way. Actually. Sorry, I blew your time.
it's our time. Anyway, I think when you were mentioning about people thinking about society, I was just reading some time back an article which was talking about how there is so much of interest in the current times, taking inspiration from modern day philanthropists, and so many people are apportioning a good part of their income for charity. In fact, for example, Funds India, which is a stockbroking and a mutual fund portal, says that they have found that a lot of their clients, maximum number of their clients, are telling them that 10% of the wealth that we are earning, please help us to do charity. You know, they want to apportion a good part of their wealth, 10% of their money, to charity. That's what this portal says. In fact, the other day I was reading Ajim Premji through his foundation, Ajim Premji Foundation. Since 2001, they have spent 63,000 crore looking after 350,000 schools in 15 states in India.
Wow.
So, I mean, you
see, that is a good point. The point is, society has a lot of people. So, everyone can do good work in some way or the other, which is welcome. But the beauty of the Gita is, I don't weigh how much you give. Even if you don't give me anything, if you give a glass of water, you have to do it with love for me.
Yes.
I am seeing you. That is more important. If these people do it as philanthropy, it's one thing. If you do it, say, I want to make people happy. I want to see, smell, and make them go and do the same thing elsewhere. That is, it must spread.
Yes.
Like what I call a breeze, gentle breeze.
And social service should become spiritual.
No, you spiritualize service. In fact, that is what Swami told once.
Yes.
And it happened in Vrindavan. At that time, they were forming the Prashanti Council for the first time. For some reason, I was dragged into it. I was not interested at all. But it was happening in the Thrai building. After renovation, there was a big area just before the dining room. And Swami was sitting in a sofa, and the leaders of Prashanti Council were there at the tower, close to him. And my job was catering. I was near this, and I had to make sure they had orange juice, tea, and so I just kept far away to be as close to this, because somebody has to do all these jobs. Otherwise, I get fired. So they said, Swami, America, the customs are different. Boys and girls, they mix up that Narayan Seva and all that. he tried to dissuade them. But then what happened was, they kept on saying this. And then Swami said, listen, I am not running a service organization. I have started a spiritual organization, and I want you to become spiritual via service. This service is called Narayan Seva. So when you give the food to the other man, or person, you see Narayana in that person. This is what I am offering to you as Narayana. You have come in this form to test me. Then you and I become one. If you want to run a food service, catering service,
yes,
that has nothing to do with me. And when you are engaged in a spiritual act, like making a sanjivachana, that is an aid to improving your spirituality. If you mix boys and girls together, something else will happen. I have nothing to do with that. He made it very clear.
Wow.
And that is not known, because I was an eyewitness. And he said, I am not starting a service organization, I am starting a spiritual act. This is one way. Grama Seva is Rama Seva or something like that. Things like that.
In fact, I...
Manava Seva, yes. Madhava Seva,
correct,
and stuff like that.
Correct.
So, nobody does. I went and gave so many, distributed so many packets and all that. Very often, I would ask in those days, any state presidents, 500 Narayanas came, we had 600 dhotis, so we gave everyone, and we had some left. So many Narayanas came. It was like an accountant. She has in the early days of broadcasting and situation, he said, I'm not an accountant. Why are you giving me the one story, human interest story is okay.
Yes.
But they were all cast in a mold. Mm-hmm. That was the problem. Most of the organizations drain out the principles and pack it with procedures. Procedure is more important than... And if you read our Puranas, there is a blending of all these things. You see, for example, Adi Shankara, he had an ego, Brahmin and all that. Ishvara comes as a chandala.
Yes.
And then he says, they move. Which direction do I move? And then he has the awakening.
Mm.
So, the ego can come even to a very high person. And so, that is very difficult. That's not easy. So, we have to tell them how to do this. And he said that at the end of the day, if you keep on chanting my name is so powerful, it will change you. That is a very important thing.
Yes.
And that was not invented by Sai Baba. It is there in Ramayana.
Mm. Absolutely.
So, we don't realize these things. Sorry.
One very tangential observation, or I don't know, question maybe. You were earlier in the session mentioning about Prema and Bhagavad Gita, etc. I have never heard the word Prema in Bhagavad Gita. Have you, like, he says, Bhaktiman me priyo na raha. He says that such a devotee is dear to me. But Prema in the sense that Swami uses it, I have never come across it in the Bhagavad Gita, and I don't think it's there even in the Upanishads. As per any thoughts on that, sir, because...
You have asked a very important question.
Yes.
You see, normally, even in here, when you ask a human valid, Sati Dharma Shanti Prema Ahimsa.
Right.
Okay. Then, supposing I take a circle, we have this circle or table, I put five dots here, Satya Dharma Shanti Prema Ahimsa. Right in front of me, I see Satya.
Right.
Dharma, Shanti, Prema. I can rotate this and make that way.
Correct.
So why should I say Satya is the primary and other things are derivatives? If I make Prema the primary, then Satya becomes one aspect of Prema and so on and so forth.
Correct.
That is one point. The second point is, Swami shifted the focus from Satya to Prema, because Prema is understandable.
Okay.
It's understandable because you see, somebody said, I think Swami himself said, when a calf is born, it stands up and drinks mother's milk. When a baby is born, unless the mother lifts up the baby and feeds it, it cannot live.
Correct.
So there is prema in the mother. I put prema in everything. When I put the spark of ama, I put prema. You notice, in the early days, Swami used to say, Dibhyatma Swarupalara. He changed it to Prema Swarupalara.
Correct.
Swarupalara. So, he said simply, Prema Swarupalara.
Yes.
Boys and girls. Dibhyatma Swarupalara. And she says, you look of me not as Atman, but as Prema Swarupa. And you are a Prema Swarupalara. And that is a very important point. And secondly, long before Krishna, there Rama lived. And in Tyagaraja, he talks about Rama's prema. So the word prema was part of the spiritual philosophy. But Krishna is mostly trying to tell you how to take a road map. What is a road map? But bhakti yoga is what prema yoga.
Prema is all about. I mean, ultimately, the
so
prema...
See, instead of bhakti is the word Krishna used.
Yes.
But in, Swami, in order to stress that prema aspect, he used
that. Because ultimately, I mean, only that is love, I mean, which is for God. Only that is what is prema.
No, the Sanskrit...
Otherwise,
no,
you
no,
have moham and anuragam.
Prema is one of the attributes of God. You see, if you take in an extended way... In one discourse, Swami talked about Shama.
Correct.
In 2000.
Yes.
And Shama Satyam, Shama this and all that. Shama was one level more than that. And then we call God by many names. Kripa Nidhi, Daya Nidhi, Karuna Nidhi and all that. I'm not talking politics. But the Daya, that is, you say God alone as Daya. Dikkalene Varaka Devade Gadi. So, we have all these things. So, you look upon it not as an ATM. You look with admiration, adoration.
Yes.
And then, when you do that, it becomes love. In fact, Swami, in 1996, used to give discourse every day. I was Vice Chancellor at that time. And one day he talked about musicians. And he says, in the end, only their music rises about bondage. Because they only think of God, they forget everything. Till that time, Nada Brahmam.
Yes.
You have to reach God through Brahman, through Nadam and all that.
Yes.
So, the way has got what you call its own nuances. It can be tailored to the individual, this thing. But it must be free of attachment of any kind. That is the whole thing. I am doing it for it because I like you.
Hmm.
And that is what Swami said. I just like you. That is my nature. Those are the, what I call the beautiful flavor and fragrance of Vedanta and Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna in Bhakti Yoga, I mean Bhagavad Gita, he is simply telling a confused Arjuna, what is your duty?
Correct.
And he says, I have no duty. But I do it because I love you and I want to teach you how you should do your duty, and then that duty must be done with love for me. Mat karma krit.
Yes.
Mat parma, mat bhakta.
Yes.
So, he is giving a cooking recipe. So to say. And if you look at Ramayana, Ramayana is worked example of Swadharma for all kinds of people.
Yes.
So, first he gives the work example. Boys, this is it. Birds fly. Here he says, this is the mechanism of bird flight. How it creates a pressure difference and able to live. And then, in Sai Avatar, he says, all this must have a basis. And that basis is me. Mama Dharma. It is, that mama means God, who is in you. The real I. We
yes.
talk about the small I.
Yes.
All this prema yoga is shedding your ignorance. Little I becoming big I.
Yes.
And he says, don't be in a hurry. Go yes. through steps.
Mm.
But as you go up, you give up rituals, you go beyond rituals,
yes.
and then you go to a stage where you cannot describe nor, what you call, apraprya manasa.
Comprehend.
You cannot describe it. It is even beyond the mind.
Mm.
That is the level of feeling. And at that stage, you are almost there. because there is only oneness. And then you go through the formality of dropping the body, and you are out of this world of duality to this. There is no asukam anymore.
Mm. One worthwhile example, which is...
Just in the practical world, if you turn a zero-sum game into a, what you call win-win situation, that is what you have to do in business. Mm. Go ahead.
No, I said one worthwhile example mentioning is that of Karnam Subbamma, because she lived her life with a lot of love for Swami and served him like her own son. So in the last moment, because Swami is talking about death, how Swami comes back. He was going out of station and he actually comes back and pours Teertham water.
No, the way I heard it is, she was dead.
Yes.
He had told her, I'll be back.
Yes.
And then the body was beginning to rot. Now that Swami was in Madras, he sent a telegram, I'm coming. A lot of people said, what is this man? He talked rubbish and so on and so forth. He comes, you know, Kamlesh has drawn the drawing.
In fact, she's
put on the pyre. He says, get up. Then he puts Vibhuti water and closes her eyes.
That's a very sweet memory which I have, because when Swami came to the studio, in that last bay, we had put up that painting. There was the painting of Swami actually pouring the water in Karnam Subbamma's mouth.
Kamlesh's
painting. So Swami saw that, and I was stuck in a corner because Swami had come into that enclosure. And Swami was asking, who is this lady? And I said, Swami, Karnam Subbamma. Then Swami actually narrated the story there.
Right here in the studio.
You
put a Subbamma picture there.
Yeah. And Swami came and Swami said, I came and then I gave her water. And then...
He was abused, and then they realized.
So that clearly proves what Swami is telling. If you develop good samskaras throughout your life, at the moment of death, definitely there is redemption.
Mm. Once when I had gone to college with Swami, and so Sundays he will go to the college and talk mostly to MBA fellows, and all others will be jealous of them. He had favorites at different periods. Sundays. And here the bhajans will be going on.
Right.
So he, on the way, he told me that once I had come to a college and I was going, almost Gopuram, he told Padmanabhan, go back. And he went to General Hospital. Kasturi was sinking. He said, Kasturi, open your eyes. He opened and put some vibhuti and so. So when I was coming, we were approaching the Gopuram. Swami told me this. I went there. But apparently, Swami had told Kasturi, the end is not far off.
Is there any symbolic thing, sir, about taking Ganga Jal or drinking water at the last moment?
You see, that is what you call proceduralization of a certain concept.
Okay.
You see, a concept, you take drink Ganga Jal, is Ganga is mother, pure.
Tulsi water, something.
Yes, there is
something,
nothing specific.
You see, you need procedure.
Okay.
Even communists, they have to have a procedure. You place a wreath. When you say there is no God, why do you place a wreath? Why do you fly the flag at half mast? Why do you have to salute this? You can ask that question.
Ultimately, so Swami has mentioned you should be thinking of God. That is what is the most important.
That is what you say here.
Yes,
the last breath
means.
And all that.
Yes.
So, there is a procedure offering a respect and so on, placing flowers, lighting candles.
Yes.
You can't live without procedure. If you don't have a God, you invent a God and call him something else.
In fact, to take a complete detour, Seinfeld, the comedy series, so he says they get a very good pillow and put it under the corpse. Once the person is dead, is he going to feel the softness of the pillow?
No, but you feel he is alive and you should be given that respect.
That's true.
Yeah. That is what you do.
Correct.
You put a headstone, you do mourning, this, that. We are not animals.
Although
we have bad qualities, we have also got good qualities. 3 days of mourning, this, that.
Although there is a lot of differences in the way people treat the dead, but I think it is one of respect and one of...
And that is not the end of that person. That person is...
I don't know how many know that.
See,
yes.
Today, if you take a vote, most of the people... For one reason or other, don't believe. Once in 1993, I had to go to Europe With difficulty, I got permission from Swami for looking for semiconductor technology. And along the way, we spent 2 days in a place called Delft, because that was a university where they were doing a lot of research on these things. And there was a nice man, he was a professor in the, we were 4 or 5. In the evening, he said, I'll take you to an Indian restaurant. They have a lot of them there. So casually, I asked him, in some context, don't you people believe in God? And I said, look, God is happy in his heaven. We are happy here. Why bother God? I came back and I told Swami, this is what they say. It was sort of human level. But those are the real, the whole point is, the real danger is the moment you abolish God, you implicitly abolish dharma.
Yes.
And satya.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no moral compass for human beings. Once you do that, then there will be chaos. There will be moral bankruptcy and a lot of problems will happen. Mm-hmm. Because nothing is a sin.
Yes.
So why do you have to fear
about
sin when there is no God?
Yes.
I avoid sin because I love God. That is the beauty of Krishna and Ram or Swami.
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
Why should I hurt you?
Yes.
Only then you have to be afraid of me. I am not a headmaster with a cane. I have come to help you. Whatever state you are, I will take you. And Swami used to say, don't do anything. Give your bad habits here and go.
Correct.
That is, and he used to talk about soiled currency, reserve bank. 1 rupee won't get back because it's done by the government of India. 2 rupee and above is guaranteed with the reserve banks. So in principle, that is valid. So this is, I would suggest, how do we read deep meaning into small things in life? The moment we do that, our focus will be on those things. And if you take care of a lot of small things, then big things will happen.
Sure.
Wonderful. I think it was it was a very engaging.
You are going to have indigestion.
No. I think it was a very beautiful discussion. The time is running out, so we have to draw the curtains on this program as well as the day-long Thursday Live. Dear listeners, if you have any queries or comments on anything that we have discussed till now, please feel free to send your emails. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude to Bhagwan for having given us this beautiful opportunity to ruminate on his words and on his messages, we bring this day-long Thursday Live to a close. Thank you so much for being with us. Sai Ram.